This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Hey, hey, what's going on? You're listening to the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast. My name is Bree, and I am the host of the show, as well as the founder of Brown Girl Self-Care. Brown Girl Self-Care is a platform and space of intentional healing, joy, rest, and abundance for Black women. Let me adjust my camera real quick because I am recording this for YouTube as well as the podcast. So hopefully I'm looking in the right place. But in any case, what's going on? Today, y'all, I want to give some life updates and a little updates as it pertains to Brown Girl Self-Care. So I'm going to be talking about softness today in this episode for Black women, obviously. I am going to be giving a life update as far as like what some of the things I plan on doing for the summer now that I'm here in Arkansas. And I also want to share something that I will be doing with the podcast specifically on Fridays. So let's go ahead and get into it. So first of all, let's talk about softness for Black women, okay? I decided to start a series that goes out to my email newsletter list. And this series is specifically, again, for Black women. The essence of it is every week I am sending out one word connected to a thought that talks about just like tenderness, really, for Black women. And this is important because there are so many examples of us where, be it in movies or TV shows or on the news or whatever, you know, just other forms of media, and even in your families, right? This is not like new news. There's always this reference to Black women and how if we ain't nothing else, we strong, we are warriors, we are hard, you know, all these things that, in other words, would allow someone to think that there are not other parts to our journey. There are not other parts to us being a Black woman. There are no other parts to us as a woman, period. Like Black women are not allowed to have a life of tenderness, a life of gentleness and softness and ease and things of that nature. And I really am thinking about those things in my life and figuring out how I can allow myself to be more receiving of tenderness, as well as being able to be more tender with myself and, of course, with people in my community, because that is an act of not only like love for myself and love for others, but it's also a form of, in my opinion, of like racial justice, to be able to be tender. And this is important again, or another reason why this is important for me is because, as I mentioned in the newsletter that went out recently, for a very long time, and I don't know how much I've talked about this, I'm sure I've talked about it in the past 300 episodes, but for a very long time, I never felt like I was someone that had the capacity to receive tenderness. It always seemed elusive to me. I didn't feel like I was the right kind of person to be in a place where I could be tender and yielding and soft and gentle and, you know, feminine, womanly, okay, whatever you want to call it. Like, I just thought that that wasn't for me. When I was growing up, I'm not saying that it was all one way. We know that life, it's different. You know, it's not always necessarily just one thing. But the theme that comes back to me now that I'm an adult, okay, is that when I was a kid, I never consistently felt like I could be soft. It wasn't really modeled for me. I had a parent who was raising two children up against not only just familial things, but then also dealing with systemic things as well. And so when you're trying to raise kids, you know, it's obviously very hard. And I think that this person was someone who did their best to just survive. And when you're in survival mode, especially when you have children, I mean, for anyone in survival mode, obviously, don't get me wrong. But when you're in survival mode, especially when you have children, there may not necessarily be enough time to be anything other than the one thing that is going to get you an outcome, the one thing that is going to get you the result. And that result is being able to survive. Okay. And so anything that was outside of the basics or necessities, it was considered to me like a luxury or an extra. And I'm talking about anything physical, emotional, mental, that kind of thing. Like if it wasn't in alignment with just our survival, it was considered to me, it felt like a every once in a while or a nice treat or a bonus, but definitely not something that I would come to expect on a regular basis. So I grew up, I feel like I was a loving child, but the older I got, the more cynical I became, the more hardened I became, the more bitter and hard and rigid and unyielding I became. I wouldn't say that my soft side or my tender side was completely erased or enveloped, you know, by this hard shell that I was forming and had formed, but I will say that my shell was very damn thick. Very damn thick. It was hard for me to even let my guard down, to allow people to see the human side of me, allow people to see the tender and soft. I hate to keep using those words, but those words matter and they're important to me. But it was hard for me to let people in. It was just very hard for me to let people in and see that side of me because I had just really, you know, when you have a sore or a wound and you keep picking at it, and what does it do? It doesn't go away. It just keeps coming back and it gets harder and harder and harder, right? It just keeps overhealing itself and it's getting harder and harder and harder because it's trying to protect the meat. Is it trying to protect the white meat? It's trying to protect the wound, the scar. And I think that's a good analogy for how hardened a part of me at my core really was. I was still, I guess, on some parts, there were parts of me that was still that sweet, you know, kid, that sweet girl. Obviously, I still had a heart and compassion and things like that. But there was just so much other stuff going on, so much bitterness, rage, sadness, hardness, things of that nature. So again, when I think about just being tender with myself, It for a very long time, or just being able to receive that, genuinely receive it, it felt really daunting or felt like a challenge. And I recall having at least one boyfriend that wasn't a weirdo, because I dated some weirdos, but having at least, there was one guy, his name was Aaron. And I remember I dated him for, how old was I? I might have been like, I don't even know, 20. I'm so bad with dates and years. Let's say I was between 22 and 24. I don't recall my age, but I was in my young 20s, I would assume. And I don't know how we met. I don't remember. I don't even remember any of that. I don't remember how I met him, how we met, where he came from. I literally could not tell you, but I do know for a fact I dated a guy named Aaron. And it's sad because him and another guy that I dated, actually three guys that I dated, they were so, so sweet to me. They were so, so sweet to me. And at least two of them, the third, I don't know, but two of them, of these really sweet guys, they were definitely in love with me. But because I had this really harsh view of myself and a harsh view of the world, the reality is I could not receive on a deeper level, like the surface level, you know, love, it was okay. But on a deeper level, I could not receive that tenderness from them, that genuine love and compassion and respect and softness that they held for me. Like I couldn't receive that. And so I ended up dumping Aaron, and the other guy, I just fumbled him. I let him fall through my fingers. His name was Robert. I just was not capable of having a Robert or an Aaron in my life. Again, these dudes were solid, really good Black men, really cared for me and treated me so, so well. And all I could see, or all I could receive or allow myself to be, was just a shell of myself. I was just in my 20s and 30s and really 40s. I was just very hardened. So, you know, we all have our story. We all have maybe our Roberts or our Aarons or, you know, or something else in our life that when you look back, you can see that you were not in a place to be able to, even though you were worthy of it, okay? You were always worthy of it, but you were not in a place where you could see it for what it was or to allow it in to your life. And so I really am thinking through these things, what it means to be soft, what it means to be sacred, what it means to be feminine, what it means to be compassionate and tender and whimsical and all those things. And I thought, well, what better way for me to really not like look at myself as a project. I don't look at myself as a project, but I do love to learn about myself and in ways that I can really just love myself more and really personal development too. But I was thinking, like, what is a good way for me to really hone in on tenderness for myself? And in essence, when I hone in on tenderness for myself, I'm also honing in on tenderness for you, another Black woman. Our stories may not be the same, but our lived experiences, they're connected. You know, we exist as a collective. And I just had the thought, one word a week of tenderness, just one, and thinking through it and maybe even a journal prompt. And so I said, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to commit to this. And y'all, 52 weeks is a whole ass year. It's a long time. And so it's going to be a challenge for a few reasons, but yeah, I just sent out the message wrote out the message for softness was the very first word. And, you know, as much as I want this series on tenderness and just soft words and things like that to be a whole aesthetic vibe of just this flowing poetry of beauty and all the right words and pretty thoughts and things like that, I realized that to get to the truth of our tenderness, you've got to be able to see kind of like what's really going on in real time and what brought us to this place. So the news, this 52 weeks of tenderness isn't necessarily going to always each week going to, it's not always each week going to be this, you know what I mean, kumbaya kind of moment, if that makes any sense, but it's very real, it's very raw. And the hope is that it meets you in a place on your journey of healing and blooming and living well in resistance of the oppression and systemic fuckery that Black women have, you know, faced for centuries. So if you are interested in getting on the list, again, week one has already gone out, But if you want to hop on to the list to get the other words, you can go to browngirlselfcare.com and then drop your email address, your best email address and your name in that place at the bottom, whereas, you know, sign up for the newsletter or whatever it says. I forget what I put for that part. And you get on the list and you'll start getting next Mondays or the following, because they go out every Sunday. And so you'll get on the list to start receiving them. And again, I'm going through a whole list of 52 words specifically cultivated or curated for Black women on, again, just tenderness, because that is something that should be accessible to us, even if it hasn't been for some time or ever. You are worthy of tenderness. You are worthy of care. I am worthy of tenderness. I am worthy of care. And so that's why I wanted to do that. So I wanted to say that. That was the first thing. Now let's talk about updates for as far as like my life and that kind of thing. So as of today, as of this recording, I have officially been in Arkansas for, I would say about three and a half months. And, you know, life is going well. I am still kind of stumbling along in some areas. But things are okay. Things are going okay. I feel like the transition as far as leaving California and moving here has been easier in ways than I anticipated. And I think in part that's because when I look right outside my window, and I've said this before on Instagram when I've gone live or what have you, I look outside and directly across from me is, like, I live in a gate. So don't think that I'm just living off in some forest or whatever. But if you think about Arkansas, there's a lot of area that is, it's just, you know, trees and shrubbery and plants and wildlife and things like that. And that's something that I never experienced as a California native. Not that we didn't have that, but when you are living in the city, honey, that's not happening. You might see a coyote every blue moon or a rabbit or something, maybe, but you're not getting all this tree goodness. This kind of living really in California with all the nature and stuff, that, like, this is not something that you would get in like a city where I lived. Okay. Not like this. There's just, you know, a snack is elite when it causes conversation, right? And let's be real. Wonderful Pistachios. Yeah. They're that snack. Whether it's the crunch, the flavor, or the fact that they just hit every single time, people are always going to have something good to say. And there's a flavor for every vibe, from classic favorites to bold options like sweet chili and salt and pepper. Personally, I'm all about the in-shell roasted and salted, because there's just something about cracking them open that just makes snack time even better. Oh, and let's not forget, Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Pistachios are known for their protein power, their fiber, and better for you unsaturated fats, for a combination that may help keep you feeling fuller longer. So whether you're snacking solo or sharing the love, get snacking and get cracking with Wonderful Pistachios. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more. Summer is here, and so it's time to swap out the heavy hoodies and sweats for breezy, elevated pieces like Quince European Linen Collection. Story time. When I moved to Arkansas, I told you that I had donated most of my wardrobe, but listen, I held on to my Quince European Linen shorts and pants because they're timeless, they're elevated, they're lightweight, and they are perfect for the hot, humid days of summer. So I am going to be wearing these pieces to the farmer's market, to lunch dates, and even the pool. Quince wins at sustainable luxury because everything is half the price of similar brands. So from linen shorts starting at just $30 to luxe bathing suits and soft Italian leather sandals, Quince has your summer staples covered. Give your summer closet an upgrade with Quince. Go to quince.com/self-care for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/self-care to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/self-care. You're having hot flashes. The belly fat crept up on you. And surprise, surprise, you also noticed a few hairs on your chin. Is this you? Have you considered that it's your hormones? Do me a favor. I want you to go right now to Happy Mammoth and take their free two-minute quiz, which can help you get to the root of your hormonal symptoms. Just answer a few questions to get a personalized recommendation to help you maintain optimal hormone levels. I took it myself. I sure did. And it gave me personalized insights and recommended Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony is an herbal formula that addresses key players in how your body functions, including stress hormones. Curious about yours? Go take that two-minute quiz. It's an easy way to know where to start. In a survey, 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw improved mood, and 100% said that Hormone Harmony helped them feel like themselves again. Ready to start feeling like yourself again? Head over to happymammoth.com and take their free two-minute hormone quiz today to find the ultimate answer to your stubborn hormonal issues. And for a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with my code SELFCARE at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code SELFCARE for 15% off today.
McDonald's everywhere, and there's a McDonald's close here too, don't get it twisted, but everywhere in every corner there's either an apartment, McDonald's, Starbucks, post offices, traffic, fire stations, Walgreens. Like, that was just in a maybe like a 1 mile radius of where I live, so there was constantly traffic and horns and sirens and all that stuff. And I still get that here, obviously. It's not like I'm living in the backwoods somewhere, but I can still literally walk steps or hop in my car and drive. I don't know where I'm supposed to look on this camera, so I'm just gonna look at myself, okay? I don't even know where I'm supposed to be looking. I always forget. But I can get in my car and drive 5 minutes and have access to like this water, body of water, and park and place where I can walk Cali and kind of like a foresty vibe and things like that. And I love that for me. I love that for me. This nature is helping to heal me. It is really helping me to open up in new ways. And I'm very thankful for that. So that's that on that part. If you're following along in regards to the journey of why, one of the reasons why I moved here is because I'll be living in community with a friend. Her name is Yolanda. I've talked about her before. And she is the founder of Parenting Decolonized. And she had the bright idea to buy some land. And, you know, we started a business together and we're going to build this land out to not only serve ourselves and to live sustainably, which is very important to me. Very, very important to me. But once we, you know, get dialed in, and it will take a little bit of time, but once we get dialed in, we're going to be growing food that we can provide to Black women and Black children. We are going to be offering workshops and services and just community events and community building and things of that nature, specifically for Black women and obviously Black children. And I'm very excited for that because, you know, we can see the writing on the wall. The writing's been on the wall for some time. It's not like this is all new for us, but, you know, even in a perfect world, well, I guess I can't really say that because it wouldn't even make sense because it literally would be a perfect world. So I won't say that. But with the way that this world, like the United States is designed, okay, it is very apparent that the divide between the haves and the have-nots, or I shouldn't even say that, but the have, like the elite, what's the top 1% or 5% or whatever, compared to everybody else, that gap is getting bigger and larger by the day. I am seeing so many people on blog posts and YouTube content and TikTok and things like that, talking about how they're about to be homeless. They are struggling to survive. They are, you know, they don't know what them and their kids are going to eat. Like, they're like, a lot of people are just going through. Okay. A lot of people are going through. Everyone's not necessarily going through to that extreme. Okay. Some people in our community are living well or pretty good and just dealing with the everyday kind of like, oh, you know, might be a little late on this bill, but I'll be fine in a few months kind of thing. There are people that are living well. Okay. But there are still a lot of us in our community that are struggling, if not financially or mentally or physically, it's all the ways. Okay. It's all the ways. And so her and I were talking over the course of the last, we've been talking about this for, gosh, maybe at least a year. I can't even, again, I'm not good with dates. It could have been like 25 years ago and I would say yesterday. But we've been talking about this and we've been in community with each other and just working out or figuring out how this is going to work and what we envision, like what our dream for this is, this project, and what we want it to look like. And things are coming along. So the land obviously is in Arkansas. It's in central Arkansas. And it is, I'm trying to think, we are having it cleared. We are having fencing put up, which probably should have, would not probably, it should have been done already. But one thing you will know when you are doing a project like this is you cannot always rely on contractors, no matter what their reviews say. So unfortunately, we're having some issues with that, with the gate being put up and or the fencing and things like that. But things are still coming along. We just put a pond in and different things like that. So step by step, we're building this out. We will be living on this land. And again, living as sustainably as you know, possible, not in a rigid, like, what's it called? Like rigid kind of way where there's no exceptions, whatever. It's just, how can we steward, you know, this space? How can we steward this land and take response and be responsible with it? How can we use this land, or how can we honor this land in ways that, you know, are amazing for the land, but also can help us take care of ourselves and other Black women and children? So, you know, much more to come on that, but things are definitely happening and I'm very excited for that. I'm very happy that I did decide to move to Arkansas. For those of you that are kind of like in a season where you're like, ooh, I'm kind of feeling the nudge to do something different. I'm kind of feeling the nudge to move with my life so I can move forward. Not necessarily so you can run away from your problems, because that ain't going to happen. But if you're feeling like a nudge in your spirit that your next part of your, the next part of your story or your journey is, you know, taking a flight somewhere or moving out of the country or out of your state or whatever, you know, I would really advise you to tap in and seek guidance and direction and answer that call. You're getting that call for a reason. And for some of us, it is probably going to be a very big leap of faith. You may question, like, I don't know if I'll be able to do it, or if I'll be able to survive. I'm not telling you necessarily to just jump out and do things, but I am telling you to take some time and be still and listen, you know, to the message that you, or the messages you are receiving. Don't ignore them. Don't distract yourself. Like, take some genuine time and just be still and just listen. I promise you that the answers are there. And I also promise you that a lot of times we already know what we are being called to do, but we don't, out of fear or maybe out of obligation. Maybe you have responsibilities where you feel like you can't set boundaries in place. So you are resigning yourself to doing certain things, maybe for people or a job or whatever, because you've always done it. No one can do it like you. They always call on you to do it. And it's limiting, you know, how you can move into your next. So I want you just to take some time and think about, you know, this call that you might be getting and what are some ways I can start to move forward. Maybe it's just creating a vision board of what you see and what you envision, right? Maybe it's praying on it, taking some time in prayer and just taking it over to God and just saying, hey, I'm getting, you know, is this you? What, like, what's going on? You know, for my followers, you know, this move definitely was, it definitely had, I guess, some lows and it hasn't been perfect, but I feel like once the dust has settled, that things are definitely going to work out for my better good. They're definitely going to work out for my better good. And yeah, Arkansas is coming along. I haven't experienced really any racism that I know of anyway, or not that I've noticed or things like that, but it's definitely different. And it's funny because twice in the last week, I had someone say, "You're not from here. You are not. Are you from California? You are not from Arkansas." And I was like, wow. Yes. So I don't know if it's the way I speak, or one lady, she was at Walmart, she said it's just the way I carry myself. I don't know what that means, but she knew that I wasn't from here. So I don't know. But, you know, things are happening. And now with summer doing its thing very soon, or I think summer is like mid-June or June 15th, June 20th or somewhere in there, based on what I read, I definitely am going to be taking advantage of being outdoors more and doing some more nature walks. I really want to start hiking with Callie if possible, or alone. When I say hike, I don't mean up in some, I mean like a just long walks and possibly close to nature or something like that. I'm not ready for like a solo hiking with a backpack adventure or anything like that. But I do want to take advantage of summer. Summer is the time for being outside. Summer is the time for just energy, you know, and sun and nature and movement and energy. I don't know if I said that already. And so as I do my best to live in alignment with the seasons, I feel like just being outside, being outdoors and moving my body in those ways is really going to help me tap into not only myself, but tap into things that I value, including my creativity. So let's continue to pay attention to the seasons, y'all. Take that message for what it is. Apply it to your own life. But, you know, our ancestors, they knew what they were doing. Our ancestors had it right when they would do things based on specific seasons. And that is ancient wisdom. That is ancient knowledge. And I am doing my best to understand it and to learn it and to respect it. So there we are on that. The final thing that I wanted to say is in regards to the podcast. Now, this, I did mention it. Okay, I did mention this. But, you know, I have been thinking about how I could start talking about more business-minded things, including content creation and making money in ways that align with your gifts, that feel easier versus, because, you know, I am not about that 9-to-5 life. I am not going back to the rat race. God help me if I can swing it. I will never step foot into like an office type job again. But, you know, we live in the good old US of A, and obviously we have to make money. We have to make money. But just because money needs to be made for us to, I mean, it's a part of our survival, right? Money is a currency. It's a system that enables us to get access to the resources that we need to just to live, which, you know, I was going to say something, but it's hard because I feel like on one hand, I just want to punch the system of like consumerism and capitalism in the face. But on the other hand, I'm like, consumer and capitalism is a part of our everyday, and it's intertwined with our survival for most of us. So I'm trying to find that balance that is imperfect, but, you know, makes sense for me on this journey. And so I thought, what better way to start talking about business and income and content and creation and, you know, all that kind of stuff, social media growth and stuff like that, or just having real and raw business conversations, you know, win, lose, fails, income, losses, wins, strategies, anything, you know. I thought, what better way to do this than to have F the Cubicle Fridays? So I am bringing back F the Cubicle, which is a podcast that I had before this podcast. And I think I did this back in like 2016, 2017, again, the dates are fuzzy, but in the last 7 to 10 years, I did a podcast called F the Cubicle, and I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed having these conversations with other Black women. It's always Black women. But I really enjoyed having these conversations with other Black women talking about business-related stuff and why they decided to say F the Cubicle. You know what the F stands for. And why they decided to just kind of like strike out on their own, doing their own things. Like they wanted to live differently. Maybe they were tapped with how much income they could make. Maybe they were sick of their bosses, like giving them these stupid hours and expecting the world with no pay, like expecting all the labor, but with minimum wage earnings, like just all the things. And so I said, you know what? I felt like my spirit was saying it's time to bring back F the Cubicle. And so that's what I'm going to do. That is what I'm going to do. So in June, we will be having F the Cubicle Fridays. And so it'll be a podcast episode where it's either me or me and a guest talking about business related stuff. So Mondays will still be the Brown Girl self-care content. Okay. So we'll still be talking about abundance, ease, healing, what's going on with me and self-care, listener questions, if you have any for self-care, guests that tap into the vibe or the understanding that healing and self-care for Black women is, you know, the top priority. But then on Fridays, twice a week, I'll be releasing F the Cubicle content. Okay. So if you're just here for the self-care, I love that for you. It'll still be every Monday, you know, as I've been doing. If you're here for more business related, kind of like vibe and things like that, because you're starting a business, you're in business, you want to start a side hustle, you're still trying to figure out like what your passion is or your purpose or how you can start generating some extra coins, or you want to start a podcast or like whatever the case may be, then you would listen to the F the Cubicle episodes on this podcast. Okay. So it's not on another channel. It's not on another page. This is where you will get that content, but it will be specifically on Fridays. All right. Yeah. This was the best thing that I could come up with, because what I didn't want to do is have two separate brands, two separate things. That to me is not necessarily especially with no help, you know, that did not feel like something that would be easy for me. And I'm all about doing things that are easier, that have the least amount of resistance, so that I don't become just stuck and overwhelmed and out of sorts and things start to get chaotic and confusing. So yeah. F the Cubicle Fridays, and then Brown Girl Self-Care, obviously, on Mondays, as always, okay? All right, so if you have thoughts, comments, questions, self-care-related or business-related, make sure you send those to connect@browngirlselfcare.com. Again, that's connect, C-O-N-N-E-C-T, @browngirlselfcare.com. All right, so with that said, that's it for this week's episode of the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast. I cannot wait to be in community with you next Monday. Oh, and by the way, make sure you leave a comment on Spotify. I'm a little behind on the comments, but I promise you I'm going to get to them comments. All right. But I do see them. I do read them and I do respond to them. Okay. All right. So that's it for this week. I will see you next Monday. In the meantime, have a blessed week. Bye.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQBar plant protein bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQBars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.